So hi, welcome to Noise Podcast. I'm Shane.
I'm Glory.
And we're here with...
I'm Joel.
I'm Nico. We're the vocalists of Blind Channel.
And we have some questions to say about their upcoming album, Exit Emotion. So congrats on that. By the way, how do you feel about the response to the announcement so far?
It's been great. We've released four singles now, and I'm getting excited and pumped for the release of the whole album. So yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Hell yeah. I was jamming the record before the interview. The opening track, bro. It's so fucking good. It just, holy shit. I was sitting, I'm headbanging away. This is fucking awesome. The record was amazing.
Record's amazing.
Thank you so much.
Hell yeah.
Thank you. We're glad you like it. And we've also been vibing the first song, Where's the Exit, like lately. Because it was kind of the starting point for the whole album. Like, we figured out the name of the album, Exit Emotions, at the same time that we figured out the title for the opening song, Where's the Exit? And we were kind of like wiping around different kind of like aspects, like where do we want to go musically with this album? And I think we really cracked it on the song, Where's the Exit? You know, one of our favorite songs is Greyhound by Swedish House Mafia. And we were like trying to figure out like how would you create a breakdown like that with like very lowly tuned like electric guitar, and that's how Where's the Exit began. We've been vibing that song as well a lot.
Oh yeah. So that song was the jumping off point for the writing process of the record?
No, actually it was Flatline. We wrote that first with the Berlin based songwriting duo Bill Blind. They came to Finland and we had a like one day of writing, and we came around with this idea to kind of build a brand new way how to write metal music with some techno electronic vibes on the side. But yeah, that was the first track we wrote for the album, Flatline.
Gotcha. Okay.
Interesting. So is there any meaning behind the album title or cover art?
There's a meaning behind both of them. Like, we were on tour. We've been touring for the past couple of years. We did like 240 something shows. yeah, we've been pretty busy. And we knew that we need to start writing material for the next album during that tour. And we were in Germany and we saw this like club, this underground club, like red lights flashing and people partying, having a good time. But some people were like wasted. And even though everybody was like having the time of their lives, at the same time, there was this sense of darkness and danger like in that party. And we felt like that after our like first breakthrough in Finland and in Europe with our song Dark Side, our life has been pretty much the same as that club. And imagine you're in that club, but you're tired of living the best times of your life and you're just looking for the exit. And that's like, we came up with the song title Where's the Exit. We also came up with the album title Exit Emotions. And then like, because the previous album was, we called it the middle finger album. Everything was about middle fingers. And we were like trying to figure out like something that's like the middle fingers, but only heavier. And then Joel came up with the spike ball. It's a German weapon called Morgenstern, Morningstar it means. And we felt like in that club, you might have like disco balls hanging from the ceiling. Mm-hmm. But we wanted to do something more metal. And we came up with the spike ball. And it's been the like thematic approach of the whole album.
Gotcha. So, you know, you mentioned you guys have been playing, you played a ton of shows over the past couple of years going off the momentum of your last record. Did you guys struggle at all to like finally put the pause button on the shows to like write the record? Because I know there are some bands like you'll run off that momentum and it's like, at what point do you decide it's time to stop? Because obviously you have to write a record, but there's also so much momentum that you're running off of.
We
never stopped. It was last summer. We played like, I think, 16 festival shows in Europe. We had flights to European festivals every week. And in between, we had this studio in Helsinki. So we went there to record the vocals and record the guitars and everything and build the production and everything. So there was no breaks. It was just constant work all the time. We were this close to the burnout. The final trip to the, I think it was Switzerland and Germany. Mm-hmm. That was the final festival trip. And that was the trip where I collapsed. I was like, I can't do this anymore. But we knew that we were this close to finish the album and at the same time finish the festival summer.
Yeah.
So somehow we went through that. Then we had like 3 weeks off, and then we fly to America to promote Dead Zone and start the new American tour. So I know these are the hectic years where we're on the edge of burnout all the time, but we know that 10 years later, we're gonna look back and be super proud of ourselves or not. I'm not sure, but we believe in that
We'll find out.
Fair enough.
For
Fair enough.
sure.
So can you tell us a little bit about your writing process for the album?
I think like the important like part, what difference from our previous albums, there are two points. Like, first is the fact that between the previous album and this one, we did like hundreds of shows. We were always on stage, and I think that really affected us. Being there and seeing the getting the immediate feedback from the audience regarding our songs. And we wanted to capture the feeling of live shows into this album. This is the first album, our first album we've approached from a live perspective. We wanted to capture all that live energy. And like Joel said, the last summer we would be in the studio recording the new album until we absolutely had to get to the airport so we don't miss our flights. Then we would do festival shows. We were awake for like 72 hours, then we came back to Finland and went immediately back to the studio. So there is also this like at the same time the live energy is there, but we also we were pretty like powerless at the moment, powerless to lie. So everything that we talk about in those songs are pretty honest work. So that was point number one. And point number two is we did the previous album completely by ourselves, just us six in the band, because we had a new member. Our DJ percussions player Alex joined the band, and we were kind of practicing the chemistry between the six of us in the studio. But with this album, we wanted to like we don't want to be stuck in our own ways of making songs. So we wanted to collaborate with new people, and we wanted to make an international sounding record. So we had to leave Finland. We went to Berlin, we went to London, and eventually we went to Los Angeles to do the songwriting with the locals, like native English speakers. We're from Finland. English is not our native language. So we wanted to like find the perspective, like how to write the catchy songs and say what we mean, if you know what I'm saying and stuff like that. So those are the two main points that like make this album like new to us.
Gotcha. How did you guys struggle at all with the constant back and forth of the flying to the shows and then getting right back in the studio, like, and flipping between those two headspaces, or was it just like one central headspace for you guys?
Yeah, but we've been struggling a lot. I mean, this is insane lifestyle. Like our previous album says, lifestyles of the sick and dangerous. And this is not for the people who wants to live happy and healthy. This is not for them. You have to love the music. You have to love the shows, love the fans. You have to kind of give your one life to this. Like you sacrifice your life and your health to this. And this is, it's pretty heavy to say that way, but yeah, that's how it goes. Like, this is what it is. We're not gonna live forever, but we're gonna leave a mark in the history, and that's what we're gonna do right now.
Gotcha. Well
Absolutely.
said.
Fuck yeah. So, what song off this album took the longest to write, and which one's each of your own personal favorites?
I think that's difficult. I think most of the rewrites we did for the song, it's already been released as a single, the song called Happy Doomsday. Like we had to do that over and over again. It's one of the older songs. We wrote that during COVID times, like 2021, I think. We made the first version, and our record label fell in love with it, even though we felt it wasn't ready yet. Our record label fell in love with it. And then we did a bunch of rewrites. Like we always found that song back on the table and we would like rewrite it. But it turned out super good. And I think we didn't realize how good the song was until we got to play it live. So I think that song took like a long time. And then there are like lots of songs that were kind of born in an instant. Like for example, Dead Zone or Wolves in California. Those are like one day or 2 day sessions that we kind of completed the songwriting work. Of course, the recording took a bit more days, but
Definitely.
there's lots of like different kinds of songs on the record.
And favorites?
My favorite is absolutely Where's the Exit. It's like it's so unique, and it's the most modern way you can do metal music, and it's super crazy on the same time. So I love it. Yeah.
I have like very much difficulty to choose a favorite because they feel like your children. It's like picking up a favorite child, but I've heard you can do that too, so I'm gonna try. Where's the exit? Definitely from this blind channel point of view, it's something new and it kind of sets up the record. But I also like the song that is most personal for me. It's called Keeping It Surreal. That's like I've never been so honest about my own demons in a song. And also Die Another Day, the oldest song from the album. I wrote it in 2018, that with which was like the darkest year of my life. So that's a personal one too. So yeah, three favorites.
All right, hell yeah.
Nice.
So how'd the track list for the album come about? Did you guys write the opener be the opener, closer be the closer? Did you shelf around and see what fits? What was that process like?
I think we always knew that Where's the Exit was gonna be the opening song.
Yeah.
Then we have like we're pretty much on the map with the when we have the first demo ready, then we know that is this gonna be like a radio single? Is this gonna be a Spotify release or both? Is this gonna be an oddball song or an opener or stuff like that? So I think we wrote over 50 songs for this album,
Yet.
and then we had 50 songs on the table. But then I think all of us in the band, we agreed with the 12 that should come to the album, which is amazing because we never agree on anything. So we were all pretty much on the same page, like which songs should make the album. And the opener and the closer were pretty obvious. One Last Time, again, the last song on the album. We weren't even sure when we started writing it. We knew we had enough songs, but it was still like we had some spare time and we wrote one more song, and it turned out to be so cinematic that we wanted to close the album with it. And I also think that when Dead Zone was born, we knew it was gonna be the main focus single because it sounded so like it had the American rock radio vibe that we had always been like looking for in our songs, and it feels like we finally pulled it off in Dead Zone.
All right,
Oh
hell
yeah.
yeah.
So could you walk me through the process of whittling down 50 songs to 12?
And getting six people to agree on it. I
Yeah, because that's just
guess
fucking crazy.
there's a lot of songs that are not finished yet. There's like a raw ideas of like one riff and verse and one chorus, or just a part of the melody, and they are not finished. They're
Yeah.
a part of they're like a skeleton of the song, but there's not the flesh and bone. So it was. I guess we all agreed that we had this big Dropbox folder full of these ideas, like part. Like version number one, version 72, or something like that. We were just jamming them all the time, and we had this general vibe that okay, this Flatline or this One Last Time, this is there's something special. We all love it. We kind of all vibed to this track, and also we were on tour. We were like blasting the songs in the tour bus all the time. The ideas we were like, what is giving you the vibes? And if it gives you the vibes, you have to go for it. And yeah, like Nico said, we all agreed with the top 12 songs. It was super easy choice for us. I think there was some discuss with I think there was like two or three songs we would love to bring in as well. But like we said in a previous interview, Linkin Park is doing that right now. They're kind of releasing this like for example, Meteora bonus tracks, and they are
Anniversary
rolling.
editions, yeah.
So in 10 years, when Exit Emotions will be 10 year old, or in 15 years or 20 years, we're gonna probably do the same. So that's the good thing. We can just dig them back from the grave, or
Perfect. So the fans will get it at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you
You might just have to wait 10 years for it though.
That's all
Yeah,
right.
at least 10.
Yeah, at least 10. All right. So, how do you recommend your fans listen to this album for the first time? Should they play it in the car with friends, dark with headphones on? Should they work out to it? What do you guys personally recommend?
I think with this album, well, the best recommendation, like if you really want to experience this album, like listen to it however you want, but this isn't an album that should be only listened to from Spotify or iTunes. You need to come to check out our live shows where we were gonna like especially now we're doing a headline tour in Europe where we play the album in its entirety.
Yeah.
And that's like because that's the environment these songs were written for. I think like but for like a listening experience, when you just stream the album, I think like this album is about living in the moment, like just maybe just focus on the songs. Like we want to encourage people to put down their phones and forget, like, because life can be shit. Like we know that. Like life is shit sometimes, and that's what we want to offer with this album and the upcoming live shows. We want to offer a chance to escape for at least for 35 minutes. That's the length of the album. So maybe just live in the moment and do something. If you want to do something while listening to the album, do something that you really love and like.
Hell yeah.
Love that.
So this question should be super, super quick. Off the top of your head, I want you to describe this album for new listeners in 3 words, no more, no less.
Well, this is for European fans, but I would say back in open air. That's like 3 words.
It's not one word. It needs to be
Yeah.
one.
No,
Mosh
it
pit. Oh, it's
three
three. It's
three
three.
words.
3 words.
Yeah, you.
I go back in open air, or then a monster truck battle for the American audience.
A monster
Yeah,
truck
that's good.
battle.
We go with that. We go with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. So is there a certain feeling or emotion you want this album to invoke in your listeners?
Maybe some kind of escapism from this daily struggle and this modern day hell we go through. Like if you look at the news, it's a fucking doom scroll all the time. There's a
Yeah.
wars and people are killing each other and all this clashing shit. But right now it's getting out of hand. Like this is a Black Mirror episode in the real world, what is happening right now, and it's only getting worse. So we kind of want to offer this little escape from this hell. If you put your AirPods on or whatever, and you listen to Exit Emotions, and you just go into this world where none of this exists, and that's what we want to offer.
Oh yeah. So can you guys talk about any particularly challenging or standout moments from the creation of this record, positive or negative?
I think the biggest achievement with this album is that we actually got it done. Like when people ask, like, when did you have time to record this? We're still answering, like, we don't know. Because last summer when we were in the studio and did the whole recording part, it's such a big of a blur because there was so many happening. Like we didn't sleep at all during the last summer. So I think overall this was kind of like a challenging process. But I also like the you feel the emotional wrestle going on. You feel that on the songs. It kind of like if we would have been completely like relaxed and happy and blah blah blah, if we would have been in a different state of mind, this album wouldn't have been turned out to be as good as it is. If you know what I'm saying, like there's
Yeah.
everything that you hear on that tape. Like it can be how Jonas plays the guitar, how Tommy plays drums, how me and Joel are singing. You hear that it's so honest and raw. Then that's what I love most about this album.
Love that.
Absolutely.
Love that. So for these last couple questions, we're actually gonna shift away from music, if that's okay with you guys.
First.
Cool. So if you could be one animal for the rest of your life, which animal would you be and why?
Komodo dragon.
Oh, love
I don't
Komodo
know why,
dragons.
but I got to this TikTok like loop where the algorithm is showing me all the time the videos of Komodo dragon swallowing something. I know it's like kind of disturbing, but just don't ask me why, but it just shows me all the time those videos. And I thought that that's like the peak of all the animals. There is
Yeah.
not an animal that can kill Komodo dragon. So yeah,
Yeah.
and I would love to be Komodo dragon.
All
Dude,
right.
they're badass. Their spit is their venom, I'm pretty sure, right? It's like super toxic, I think. Yeah, they're fucking cool
Yeah.
as hell.
That's too hard of a, like I'm out of words after the Komodo dragon. I don't
You can't
remember,
top that.
it was during the last tour. Like I don't know what the fuck happened to your TikTok algorithm, but you just all the day long, all day, all night, the guy's just watching videos of Komodo dragons. Like that was, and we were like, what the fuck is happening? Like, what algorithm is that? And those were like brutal videos, like Komodo dragon kills and add another animal to that. Those were dark times. I don't know what to say after this.
You know, what animal would you be? It doesn't have to be as cool as a Komodo dragon. I know it's hard to follow that up.
No, I don't know. I probably like I have a cat and like he's my best friend, so I think I could also be a cat, so I could just hang out with my cat.
All right.
That would be probably cool and chill.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you could have lunch with any celebrity or artist, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
Eminem.
Eminem.
Eminem. I have
Yeah,
some
that would
shady.
be dope.
Yeah.
Eminem would be nice. I'm also I'm a huge Celine Dion fan. Like, I think the greatest song ever written is My Heart Will Go On. So I think that would be pretty dope.
All right, good picks, good picks. So for this last question, boom, you're on a deserted island. You can bring one person, one movie, and one album. Who and what are you bringing?
What was the first one?
One person, one movie, one album.
Does the person has to be dead or alive?
Honestly, we've never gotten that question. They could be dead or alive.
You're gonna be pretty bored if you have a dead person like lying there next to you.
I thought it was. We kind of just
That's
assumed
pretty
it was
deep.
implied that they're alive. But if you
They're
want to bring
alive.
someone's sack of bones, that's fine as well.
Go for it. We're not gonna
Okay.
stop you.
It would be Madonna from the 80s.
Okay.
And what was the second one?
Album and movie.
Album would be Metallica's Black Album. And movie would be the first Spider-Man from 2002.
Nice.
Is that the Tobey Maguire one?
Yes.
Yeah, damn right. That's the best one. Yeah.
I'm gonna
Follow
differ.
that up.
I'm gonna live in the moment, just because I'm a huge Christopher Nolan fan, and I've been watching all of his films on repeat for the past couple of days. So I would take Christopher Nolan with me. I would also take his movie Tenet, and this Tenet soundtrack as well, because I don't mind if I die on that island, but because I think I got it. It's a super hard movie to completely get, and I think I got it. So I need to watch it with Nolan, with the master himself, and ask did I get everything right? Because it's a fucking pain in the ass, because I'm not sure about everything. So that's my answer, at least for today.
All right,
That's
sounds good.
perfect. I love it.
So as Gloria said, that's all the questions we have today. Is there anything that you guys would like to plug?
Well, thank you so much, and hopefully see you on tour. We're gonna announce some US dates soon, so yeah, see you there.
Hell
Hope
yeah.
everyone likes the new album and comes to experience the new album with us. Thank you for having us.
Of course,
Of
thank you for
course.
sounding us, guys. It's been Joel and Nico from Blind Channel, and we have been the Good Noise Podcast.